Cliff Floyd of MLB Network joins us on the telephone. Cliff, how are you?
What's up, guys?
Same old. So, a whole bunch of things to get to. The Matt Harvey thing has not gone away, but maybe has been mitigated a bit as the Mets continue to play well, as they continue to march towards the postseason. Harvey's innings limit has been revised. How, if at all, do you think this affects his situation in New York? Or is that now toxic and beyond repair?
I think this definitely is something of, you know, of an issue that, you know, in my opinion, it's just gone.
You can't fix this.
Is, can you hear me?
Yeah. You're saying you can't fix this? It's broken?
No, I'm saying that it's over and done with, that he's fine, and the Mets are fine moving forward.
Oh, okay.
The reason I say that is, because when you look at some of these situations, and we just saw it a couple of days ago with Carlos Martinez, the most innings he's thrown in his career, and now he's done for the season, right? I mean, it's starting to happen. When you look at Jacob deGrom and what he's been able to do after 11 days off, when you look at Noah Syndergaard, another youngster in the Mets rotation, what he's been able to do after 12 days off, it's going to be something that we're going to see throughout baseball until these guys build up their arms. It's no more taking anything. Listen, let's be real. Legal or illegal, guys are scared to death. So you're going to see more guys break down as they should. Their bodies can't take this type of pounding. Well, what I do like is this. Teams are understanding it and making sure that they protect their players. I wasn't a big fan of it because I felt like, you know, when you go to spring training, everybody is going out there fighting to get to the postseason. Now you have teams going, well, I have 180 inning limit, and I get it. I'm starting to understand it. Until you protect these guys from themselves, you're going to always have or subject these guys to injuries. Now, I think when you see these stars doing it, Gerrit Cole, you know, with the Pirates, when you look at the Mets rotation with all their studs, when you look at the Cardinals, John Mose like saying, listen, we need guys to pitch because we lost a big guy, Adam Wainwright. You still have to protect these guys from themselves because they will not tell you that they are beat up a little bit because they want to go out there and go to post for their boys. But I think this is forgotten. I think everybody's moved on, and Matt Harvey will be fine.
If you ask any fan which two teams have the best record in Major League Baseball in the month of September, you wouldn't be surprised that it's a two-way tie, and you wouldn't be surprised that the Toronto Blue Jays are one of those teams.
No.
You probably would be surprised. And if you watch them play in August, you'd be shocked that the California Angels are the other team with a 16-8 record in the month of September. This is a team that was going fine, went into a tailspin, looked like it was going to be fatal, and have managed to crawl back out of it. Now, they do have some injury concerns, but you wouldn't be surprised if they made the postseason, would you?
I really wouldn't be. Just going over their home record today, being at their 47-31 at home, being the fact that you lost C.J. Wilson, how the heck are you doing? You lost Jared Weaver at some point throughout the season. You just lost your closer, Houston Street.
Yeah,
it's so many things that you have to overcome throughout the season. Being that I've been on 8-9 different teams in my career, you sort of understand everybody's philosophy and you get how guys, you know, and how certain organizations overcome these type of things. You can't dwell on it. So I think when you look at the Angels, Mike Scioscia's been through this before. You've seen it throughout the league that guys have to step up. And, you know, and it's opportunities for everybody now. So I just look at this and go, you know what? They might not be a team that you look at and go, how the heck are the Angels in it? But they do little subtle things. And Bill Stoneman, the new interim general manager there, has went out today and signed Matt Latos. Now, you know, the Dodgers say, hey, we don't need you. We're going to let you go.
Yep.
You clear waivers. But we'll bring you in, and maybe we can find a diamond in the rough, you know, and with you and moving forward. And he won't be eligible for the postseason, but it's another viable arm that can help you get to what you're trying to get to. So I just say, you know what, the lineup and the talent on the team was something that, you know, in my opinion, wasn't questioned. It was more, could you find some starting pitching to sort of help you get to where they are today? And that, like you said, they're half game out of you know, getting that second wild card spot.
Cliff, understanding the culture of a locker room, a clubhouse, a bench, a dugout, you know, it can be contentious. There's a lot of testosterone. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of days together. But that Papelbon, Bryce Harper situation looked different than the routine kind of squabbles we see internally with teams. Did you see it that way too?
I saw inexcusable behavior.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that you know that gets lost in this thing is, you know, the testosterone and everything, it's in everybody's locker room.
Right.
The one thing that has to be taken into consideration is, man, we grown men that you know, when I go through those doors, when I went through those doors for 18 years, I knew the respect level I had of my boys in that locker room.
Right.
And when I went to post with these guys every day, I knew who had my back and who, I won't say who didn't, because I felt like the 24 of the guys had my back. So it's never like who didn't have my back, because you was in this together for 162 days. For 162 games, I am fighting and crawling and doing everything I possibly can to get to the postseason. And when it's all said and done, yes, the frustration sets in. But I would it's never crossed my mind, no matter how mad I was at a guy for not going hard, but no matter how hard, you know, mad I was for a guy who I thought was very selfish and self-centered and wanted to just get his number so he can get $100 million. I never once thought about putting my hands on none of them.
Right, let alone
it
their
never
throats.
Crossed my mind.
Let alone their throats.
Exactly. And definitely not to their throat. And definitely not with the intent that I saw. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, was it Warner or not? I don't care what Harper was saying. Because if he's saying you want to go, which we definitely saw him mouth that, then I'm saying, okay, as a veteran, you think you want to go toe to toe? Let's go down in a tunnel where we can rumble all day.
Mm.
Nobody sees this, and I don't know what's going to happen to the franchise player, and I don't know what's going to happen, but you're asking for something that you might not want. So I don't condone any fighting because it does not matter. But you know who's wrong or right. That is not how you sort of figure out certain situations. But I do say this: Harper was wrong. Papelbon went way overboard, and do you chalk it up as missing the postseason? 100%. Do you chalk it up as an absolute disappointment and how things were sort of situated at the trade deadline when you had a viable guy down there and doing a great job in Drew Storm, you bring in Papelbon? I think 100%. You know, do you chalk it up as just a team that was beat up the whole season, you know, with all the injuries across the infield, with Zimmerman going down at some point, with Rendon going down at some point, you're starting center fielder, your leadoff guy, even though Taylor did a phenomenal job of filling in for Denard Span, you can't replace him. So with all those things thrown into the pot, well, you know what? I mean, I do understand frustration, but I never understand somebody putting their hands on anybody.
Yeah, look, I don't want to mitigate the criticism of Papelbon because he was wrong in the way he acted and reacted. And you are 100% right. This is something that should have been done outside the dugout, underneath the stands, away from the ballpark, somewhere else. But here's what I would say to you. One of the things that is that we have to understand is there's a problem with Harper. Harper's teammates don't appreciate his I'm for me, not for you attitude, which is becoming more and more apparent with every passing day. His unwillingness to run out ground balls, which probably was at least in part what Papelbon was talking to him about. Wrong place, wrong time, and wrong conclusion. But Harper got a one-game suspension from the Nationals today, too. So Papelbon probably will not pitch another inning in his life for the Washington Nationals, and who knows whether anybody picks him up. But don't you see this potentially as a problem in Washington with Harper that needs to be addressed?
I would say yes. I mean, it's one of those things, you make a great point. And
He's a great player, but at some point.
I want him on my team. I think any other team, I think any other GM, I think any other player, I think any other fan, everybody will love Bryce Harper in their situation.
But
I think he has to realize this, that no matter how good you are in this game, I don't care what your talent says, the respect level outweighs the talent, if that makes sense. You
sure
have to respect the game for the game to give you the respect that you're looking for at the end of the day, because I don't care about your accolades. I care about the type of person you bring into this my environment consistently for 15 years. Are you the guy that I look back on my career, fellas, and I go, gosh, I wish I could have played for one team and been a dominant player, right? I think everybody wished that. That I've talked to, that I've played with. But do you want to be that guy that's like, yeah, he's good, and yeah, I want him, and yeah, he'll go to post, and yeah, I want his numbers, but gosh, dog it, man. Please, I hope he never opens his mouth when he walks in his locker room. Mm. That's not the way you want to be looked at when you lead this game or as you play this game.
Yeah, is this a guy I want to spend every day with for the next 8 months? Because that's what you're asking about. Every day, an 8, 10, 12, sometimes 16 hours a day. And
long time.
That is a long time.
I will tell you this, that something that I went through my whole career. Do you know the lonely nights you have when you've nobody to talk to?
Yeah, man.
There's only so many times you can talk to your dad now, you know?
Yep.
You come back to the hotel after the game, and it's just you and the four walls. That's it.
Quick, Cliff.
You're thinking about this. You're having this stuff, and it's just you can avoid it, is my point. You can avoid this by saying, hey, it's going to be some bad days. I can tell you 100% I've been yelled at by the opposing team going, won't you just run the ball out? You're too good to be doing some of the things you do. I get it. I've been in that situation. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. But when you're that good, I would just hope that they can get a veteran player there that can say, hey, Harp, let me take you on my wing and show you. And I'm not done.
I think that's the answer.
Anybody there.
Yeah.
But they need somebody to be able to say every night, let's hang and get this right.
Yeah.
Because you are off the charts, unbelievably. Maybe, and without throwing it on him and.
Oh, he's a talented guy. Cliff, I hate to interrupt you, but we're out of time. He's a talented guy, but he's misdirected right now.